From the Figure Four Online Studios in beautiful Bothell, Washington, exclusively at WrestlingObserver.com, you're listening to The Brian and Vinny Show with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Big Vinny V.
Dear God, we're live.
Really?
We're live.
Hmm.
That's the story. It says it is live.
I can't wait to see how different the show is without all the editing we do.
That's right. All of the massive editing that we've done. You know, it's funny. I don't know if he wants me to mention his name because he might be upset if I do mention his name. But somebody, a very good friend of mine, actually, when I was talking about this project today, they said, and by the way, everybody, it's a Brian and Vinny show, and it is the new year. It is the new year. And live radio there, we had a random Irish tune break in there. But anyway, it is a Brian and Vinny show. It is the 1st of January, 2014, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. And we are experimenting with a live show here on the air. And hopefully there's people listening right now. I'll check the Twitter in a second here, but it'll distract me. So anyway, a good friend of mine was like, Brian, when you say live, are you talking you're going to go live with like the Brian and Vinny show? And I said, yeah. You know, we're going to go live with these shows. And they said, well, what about the editing? Oh, God. And I was like, we don't do any editing, dude. I, honest to God.
Who said this now?
I don't want to mention his name. If he tells me I can mention his name, I will. But
all right.
I honest to God, I can count on two hands the number of shows that I have edited in the last however many years it's been since 2005.
Mm-hmm.
We don't edit. Every show is live to tape, and so... You know, it makes no difference to me whether it's live or not. It's exactly the same as if nobody were listening right now.
And, which, for all we know.
Well, I can tell you that there are actually hundreds.
That's true. That's true.
There are hundreds of people listening right now in over a dozen countries. And keep in mind, as I noted, it is midnight on the East Coast, 9 o'clock p.m. Pacific here. And it is the new year. So Lance actually had a great idea. He said, you idiot, you should have started 10 minutes early and you guys could have done a countdown to the new year.
I was hoping Lance's great idea was just to call you an idiot and leave it at that.
Well, he calls me an idiot on a regular basis.
That's true. Also late.
But yeah, so according to this this little thing here, a lot of people are listening as we speak. And because it's live, yep, there it is. I got a note here on Twitter, listening to you live right now. Happy New Year from Marcus Groneman.
Well, there you go.
So there you go. It works. It works. A dozen countries.
Maybe you should bring it up on your computer so we can listen to ourselves as we speak.
I could do that, but and by the way, we gotta talk about a few things here, then we'll get into the show. We've got Raw and SmackDown, and we're gonna open some of the gifts.
That's right.
That have not been opened from the Christmas show.
I bet so many people didn't know you were sending New Year's presents, did you?
That's right, that's right. But a couple of things. First off, we are doing this as a test. We want all of you to listen, and we want you to try to crash the stream. And we've got hundreds of people on. There seem to be zero issues right now, and that's good. Now, a couple of things. First off, if you're listening, the stream 24 hours a day is going to be going with the shows from the past 2 weeks. So actually, if you have friends who are not subscribers, now's their chance because this is free for the time being. It's not going to be free forever or for very long. But as we test it, it's completely free because we don't want to charge people. Look, people are already calling. We're not answering the phones yet, everybody, so please don't call. But so it's going to be free, this stream. So you're free to spread the link wherever you want. And for the next few days, all of the shows will be live. And when they're not live, the last 2 weeks of programming will be available on the stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So if you have friends and you're always trying to talk them into signing up and they don't want to, well, give them this stream and they can try it out for a while. Now, we are going to take calls, maybe not tonight, but the New Year's prediction show is coming. I've got all of the predictions from last year. A lot of failures is noted, which is good because I asked everybody to go out on a limb. And if we had a lot of successes, it'd be pretty impressive. But you all need to know that when you call in, there is a slight delay. And so if you leave the stream volume on while you're talking to me on the phone, you're going to be very confused. This is why back in the day when Art Bell did unscreened open lines, there was no call screener to tell people to turn their radios off. And so Art had to tell everybody to turn your radio off because people would get confused. It's the same thing here. There's a delay that we cannot remove. So if you call, just be prepared to turn your radio down. And as is the case with all of the other shows, you know, make sure that you've got a good phone, preferably. If you've got a landline, always use the landline. If you've got Skype, if you have a headset, please always use the headset. Don't just yell at your computer. But all of that is for another day. For now, we're just going to test the stream. And I'm telling you, spread this link around far and wide because I want to see how many people we can get on without this thing crashing. Because we can up the limit. But obviously, as you raise the limit, you pay more money. And so we want to know what the limit is. I don't want to say, you know, can we have access to 1 million people listening at the same time? And then it turns out that there's only 50 that ever listen at any one time. So we're testing the limits here. And so far, so good. Vinny, go grab a present.
All right.
Let's stop with this jibber jabber here. Everybody wants to know what we were sent for Christmas. Yeah, start with two. This may be a process over a couple of shows, everybody. I don't want to... Nope, you're just going to have to tear it open with your bare hands like a beast.
I do have a key.
And by the way, everybody, I'm going to have my Twitter window open at all times. And so that's another great thing about being live. I can get instant feedback. So next time I wonder something, a historical fact or a trivia fact, and I have absolutely no idea what's going on or what the answer is, I now have Twitter here, and all of you can contact me if need be. It's at Brian Alvarez. And by the way, if you're listening and you don't follow me on Twitter, 5 more followers to 13,000. And I'm gonna say it right now. Lucky Twitter follower number 13,000 is going to get a prize. That's all I'm going to say. So whoever you are, if you're not following me on Twitter, follow me right now. And number 13,000 is going to get a prize. What's happening over there, Vinny?
I have broken through the tape, which may have been used to mummify ancient Egyptians. It was rather thick.
It's like a sober version of the Christmas show.
That sounds horrible.
Well, right. Sounds better than what happened to you.
That's true. Okay, we have a note here. I'm going to read this note in its entirety.
All right.
Hello, Brian. Open Pandora's box, if you dare.
I'll let you open it.
That's all it says. All right. This better not be a snake. Actually, if it is, it's surely dead by now.
I don't know.
It's also taped? It's also taped.
Man, we got a lot of...
This is a hell of a debut for a live show.
Hey, I'm getting a lot of good responses. Stream is awesome so far. Stream sounds great. Mark here says, kick Vinny in the nuts.
That Mark from New Jersey?
No, actually, it's not.
The hell with Mark.
I mean, he may be in New Jersey, but it's not the Mark in New Jersey you're talking about.
All right. Yeah, a note reading Hope. Oh, Brian.
Yes. What is it?
You may want to read this.
Oh, dear God. Give me that. Who's this from? I just want to know that whoever sent this is going to get a kick in the nuts if I ever see him.
This is from Keenan Funk.
Okay, Keenan.
In Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, goody. I don't have to leave the country for this. All I have in my hand right now, everybody, is a instruction manual for Mighty Bomb Jack, which brings back, oh, yes.
The actual NES cartridge. It's also included.
Man, I'm going to have to bust out my Nintendo.
Do you have a Nintendo Entertainment
Hell
System?
Hell no. I don't even have a DVD player, I don't think. Look at this.
Well, thank you, Keenan Funk from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That is a fine Christmas show gift opened here on the New Year's show.
You know what? This is like, some of you may understand this. Most of you listening are going to think I'm completely out of my mind. But when I was a little kid, when I had the Nintendo cartridges, they came with the instruction manual, like I'm holding in my hand right now. And I always loved that they were printed on glossy paper.
Yes.
Colored glossy paper. I just thought it was so cool. I don't even know why. Maybe because I always liked books and writing and that sort of thing. But I thought, man, it's just so nice. That's why years later I ended up doing a full color glossy figure four. That's a true story. Not because of Mighty Bomb Jack, but because I always liked those glossy instruction manuals that they had in Nintendo games. And here I have it right now in my hand. Mighty Bomb Jack. You know what I'm going to do with that thing, Vinny?
What are you going to do with that?
Well, we're going to have a ritual destruction of it here at some point. Not going to do it today. But live on the air, I'm going to, in some way, completely destroy that Mighty Bomb Jack cartridge. Unless you think that that might be worth some money someday.
I have no idea.
And this is no disrespect to Keenan. I want Keenan to know that I've been waiting 38 years for the opportunity to ritualistically destroy a Mighty Bomb Jack cartridge. So maybe that'll be coming. Should I open mine?
Sure.
All right, it's... Well, I'm going to have to turn those sounds off now,
won't
I?
That's really obnoxious.
Yeah, well, what can you do? And my calendar randomly opened up. I don't know why. All right, so this is from another country. That's all I know. I believe the stamp is written in French. So, who do we know from France that might have sent this?
Salim?
Tragically, well, first off, let me read the card to Brian and Vinny. Okay. Oh, my God. Okay, it's from Enda. They've written all this.
That's a lot of words.
I'll read it quickly. Brian, Vinny, Granny, and the Empire. My name is Enda. I am 22 years old. This Christmas, I am celebrating my first full year as a subscriber. I want to thank you for all your fantastic programs this year. When I became a subscriber late last year, I was not in the best of shape mentally. But after obtaining a subscription, no matter how bad I felt, I knew that on any day where I was feeling crummy, there would be a new show to listen to on this great website. I didn't pay for this, by the way, everybody. This is just happened to take place. You all transcend the topic you built this website on to the point where many people are just tuning in to hear your voices, regardless of the subject matter. I'm doing much better now than I was 12 months ago, and being a part of this website was a huge help. I am from Ireland, and I'm currently on a 7-month acting tour of France and Belgium. So the chocolate you are holding is Belgian chocolate. I hope you and Vinny are having an awesome Christmas, and I hope one day I can make a WrestleMania or a Vegas trip so that I can thank you both in person. That is from Enda. And I don't know what this means. Oh, you know what? I figured it out. He sent me two Belgian chocolates, one in the giant shape of a B, and one in the giant shape of a V.
Now, what part of that was difficult for you?
Well, because when I opened it up, I saw this.
That is upside down.
It was upside down, so I thought he sent a B and an A for Brian Alvarez, and you got left out in the cold.
Sure.
But I have since figured out that it was, in fact, A, B, and V. Why are the phone lines going so crazy? Do people not listen when I say not to call? Let's answer one anyway. Hey, who's this?
Excuse me?
You're calling. Who is this?
This is Joey from Lorax.
from the Lorax?
Joey from Lodi.
Lodi. You just decided
Lodi,
to
California.
Decide you'd randomly call California. Even though I demanded nobody call in?
Ah, shit. Okay.
Yeah, wait, you're on the air. You lucked out. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Can I get a question for one for you and one for Vinny?
Yeah, go for it.
Vinny, football question. I read your quick read article every week. Great article on footballoutsiders.com.
Thank you. Thank you. And a good plug, too.
Dear God. I'm not paying for any of this, everybody.
I'm a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I know we just got screwed out of the playoffs, but if you're a Pittsburgh, where do you go from here, do you think?
That's a hard question. They're kind of mired. Yeah. They've kind of hit that mired and mediocrity spot where you don't want to be.
I know.
Because they're not bad enough to get good, but not good enough to actually contend for anything.
Yeah.
I mean, the temptation to blow it up and, trade Roethlisberger and just start everything over, that seems kind of desperate to me right now. I'm a believer, and I think I'm a minority here, especially among Steelers fans. I'm a believer in Mike Tomlin. I think you have faith in that guy overall. Not that he's a perfect coach, of course, but I think you give it at least one more year to see if he can find signs of life. And, there's been a big talent drain. The last several drafts have been poor. That's how they got old very quickly, and now they're just old and need a lot of work. But
are we really talking football right now?
It's a very hard question to answer.
Okay. What's your wrestling question?
Not necessarily wrestling, but something that you would be interested in. You've claimed many times that Two-Headed Shark Attack is the worst movie you've ever seen. And I've actually sent you an email saying that you and Vinny both need to watch Tommy Wiseau's The Room.
The Room?
Yes, laughably bad.
I will say... Oh, go ahead.
Excuse me?
Go ahead.
Tommy Wiseau acts, directs, and he is the worst at everything. He is a worse writer than Vince Russo, a worse
That's
actor
impossible.
Than the worst of WWE divas. It is hilariously bad. I mean, hilariously bad.
I will say that other people have mentioned this film before, and I did find a clip on YouTube, and based on the 30-second clip on YouTube I saw, it looks like, no contest, the room is a million times worse than Two-Headed Shark Attack.
My God.
It is so that Charlie O'Connell looks like he could play every president in the world at one time compared to Tommy Wiseau's acting. Charlie O'Connell, I think, was the dude whose leg got busted into and was selling it in Two-Headed Shark Attack.
All right, listen, I want to thank you very much for the call. I had to take a call. I had to test it. I had to see if it worked, and it did. So listen, everybody, no more calls for a while. I'm not going to answer the phone for a bit, so hold on a second. And by the way, I was alerted that, speaking of Two-Headed Shark Attack, and this is the wonderment here of live audio, I can get this stuff on the spot. Tomorrow, everybody, I believe, and if I'm incorrect, I'm sure I'll get a correction quickly, Avalanche Sharks.
Is that a film?
Yeah. Actually, I should find out what channel it's on, but I believe it is tomorrow. So if you want to check out Avalanche Sharks, what a way to kick in 2014.
There's a trailer.
Tony here on Twitter says, can we please get a live podcast of Vinny taking football calls and Brian forced to participate? We tried that one time, the Vinny V Sports Report, and it died a death.
It did.
Yes, it's on Showcase in Canada, everybody, but not sure about the United States. So if anybody in the United States is listening and can get a time and a date and a channel for Avalanche Sharks, let me know and we'll talk about it on the air here. All right, we should probably at least start some of this wrestling talk. So, Vinny, let's do SmackDown, a fine show.
This was a fine show. Before we get into this, I just want to mention something. A week ago on SmackDown, it was the week of Christmas. And I forgot to watch SmackDown. And we did not do a show because it was Christmas, and so that's when I usually watch it. Several days passed, I forgot to watch it, and then when I sat down and did the newsletter, I realized I had not watched SmackDown.
You know what that meant? Everybody yelled at me.
Oh, it's not even that. People yelled. Yeah. I have said, at least since SummerSlam, probably long before that, that every week, there's two SmackDown reviews. A, a bad show, or B, a fine show, but missable.
Yeah.
Those are the only options there's been for SmackDown the entire year. And in hindsight, I need to retract that, because I didn't watch this episode of SmackDown, and I didn't miss it at all. So none of them are missable. So, point being, it's not that big a deal. Now
you must apologize.
For what?
You
because
were wrong.
I was wrong. I was wrong. They're not missable. You won't miss them. Now, this SmackDown was, in fact, eventful and fun. So this is the, what do you call it? The exception to the rule.
Sure.
So John Cena came out for a promo. Even by his own standards, he was very hyped. Then he started making a bunch of stupid jokes about New Year's resolutions. Although I will say he did have one great idea when he suggested there should be an animated remake of Manimal. I endorse this.
You know, I got to say, John Cena promos. I know a lot of people just absolutely hate John Cena promos. And a lot of them do suck. And this actually goes back to something that I was talking about a couple of days ago. But my wife, who is listening right now, so we may have a live run-in with her trying to kick my ass for talking about this. But she was in the room for the Cena promo, and she laughed. She laughed at some of his lines. But the key is, she laughed at some of his lines, and then when the Shield came out to challenge for a match, she left. So again, the point I'm making is, there's a lot of comedy in WWE, and some of it is funny to your average person on the street, but it's not the kind of thing that is causing those people to go, my God, I need to become a wrestling fan now. And I think that they need to keep that in mind when they do all of the wacky comedy.
So he challenged... cough already. He challenged Orton, but instead the Shield, in fact, did come out, and this is when your wife left. They came out to beat him up. Then Big E ran out, and they beat him up, and then Mark Henry arrived, and Mark Henry first, then Big E. So the babyfaces cleared the ring, and then Glenn the Libertarian appeared, and he did something new. He did not book a six-man tag. I guess that's only what Teddy Long does. But Glenn the Libertarian booked three singles matches: Ambrose versus Langston, Reigns versus Henry, and Rollins versus Cena.
Mm-hmm.
And when he announced Rollins versus Cena, Rollins was so happy. He was pleased to get this match.
I didn't like when Cena explained that his New Year's resolution was to gain 40 pounds. And then he revealed, and I was trying to figure out, okay, so obviously, you know, there's a joke here. You know, the old joke of, you know, I want to lose 150 pounds. Dump my girlfriend. Ha ha.
Yeah.
You heard that one? So he wanted to gain 40 pounds. So I'm thinking, so what does he want to do? Does he want to adopt Hornswoggle? Like, where's this going? Where's this 40 pounds?
Well,
hey, it's just as ridiculous as what he said, which was the 40 pounds is he wants to win the belt.
He did say the world championship belt weighs approximately 40 pounds.
The belt weighs virtually as much as a plate at the gym.
Yes, everyone go.
That big round plate.
Everyone go to the gym, take a 45-pound plate, and imagine throwing that over your shoulder or wearing it around your waist for a while.
Now, granted, I was told, because we interviewed the guy that put the belt together, it is a heavy belt.
Sure.
But it ain't 40 pounds.
No.
Approximately 40 pounds, he said. It's like, really? You are clearly a strong man, because you have no concept of 40 pounds.
That is true. He may just be so strong, and they talk about not knowing your own strength.
I picture Randy Orton hoisting a 40-pound belt over his shoulder, and as it impacts him, he just does a flip.
Or his head just falls off.
Because of the weight.
Yeah.
I also like to add that the Batista commercial they've been running is awesome.
That is true. They aired it on the Raw before this is when it debuted. But yes, that is a fantastic hype video. Usos versus Wyatt's was a short match. One of the Usos used Jeff Hardy's Whisper in the Wind very early. I thought to myself, well, this is stupid. The reason that move is over for Jeff is because it starts his comeback. And so he saves it for the end. And then the match is over about 30 seconds later. So I thought, oh, well, there you go. So, yeah, the Wyatts won with a discus lariat and a splash. And then they beat up the other Uso, too, and that was it. Renee Young interviewed Randy Orton backstage. Asked him about his New Year's resolution. And he had a fine goal. I guess it was a series of goals, but he wanted to win the Royal Rumble, then he would be the champion, and there would be no one to challenge him at WrestleMania, so he was going to watch the show from a skybox. Then the next day, he would retire as champion and go into the Hall of Fame. Great! Dolph Ziggler arrived. He talked smack for a while. It looked like things were going to get violent when Glenn the Libertarian appeared. He said he was responsible for maintaining a safe working environment, and I laughed out loud. He ordered them to settle things in the ring. And he told Randy that the backstage area had to be a safe zone. And as he said this, Randy looked at him, bewildered, and the look in his eyes was just, you are fucking Kane telling me to be safe backstage.
Yeah.
Hysterical. So Kane told him that anything that happened in the ring would be a different matter.
We need a calm work environment.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how Orton's plan was, I'm going to enter the Rumble, I'm going to win, I'm going to watch WrestleMania, and then I'm going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a career trajectory you've got.
At that point, what else is left for him to do?
Well, you're right. He's make conquered. Money.
Well, there is. You can just do that in personal
plan for a future.
Endorsements. Cody Rhodes versus Antonio Cesaro. This was every SmackDown singles match of the year. They wrestled. It was fine. Nobody cared. There was a distraction finish. The only notable thing here is that the actual move Antonio used to win this was the European uppercut to the back,
mm-hmm.
which is awesome. And he schoolboyed him in one.
I was just completely baffled watching this because I'm used to watching these three-segment matches on Raw. And seeing guys go 3 minutes, I thought I hit the fast-forward on accident. But I didn't. That's how long the match was.
It was just this show up until the main event was just full of guys and just short matches.
By the way, I'd like to announce right now, Michael Fisher of White Bear Lake, Minnesota, is the winner of the Twitter contest.
Well, there you go.
Michael Fisher was lucky Twitter follower number 13,000. So, Michael Fisher of White Bear Lake, Minnesota. I don't know if I get all that information out on the air, but it's too late now. Michael, email me, brian@wrestlingobserver.com. That's B-R-Y-A-N @wrestlingobserver.com. And you will get a special prize. There you go. 13,005, if you can believe that.
I believe White Bear Lake, Minnesota was the hometown of Jumpin' Jim Brunzel.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So if you see Jim, tell him I said hi.
By the way, everybody, I had one person note that the stream was buffering. It may have been his device. But if you do have any issues, tony.leader@gmail.com. All of that information is up in the main posting on the front page. So if you have any problems, please email Tony so we can get it fixed. All right, go on, Vinny.
Primetime Players versus Ryback and Curtis Axel. This got more time, I think, than the first two matches put together, which is baffling when you look at who's in it. So they're doing the tag match, and they get heat on Titus, and Darren's making his comeback, and Darren's a great babyface. And then Titus gets back in, so all four dudes are in the ring, and Axel gets knocked down, and he just lies in the center of the ring. And Ryback and Titus are trying to do their stuff around him and stepping over him. I'm stunned nobody stepped on him, just in the way. And finally, Young pinned Axel with an O'Connor roll, and Axel kicked out at 3.1, and that was it.
Just stepped right on him.
Had a clip from the history of the company DVD on Saturday night's main event. Dolph Ziggler versus Randy Orton. Dolph has dyed one completely random patch of his hair pink. JBL was mystified by this.
I was mystified by this.
Well, it's not something I would do.
It's 2014. You're dyeing your blonde hair pink, and you're supposed to be a babyface.
Is he?
Yeah. Dolph Ziggler's a babyface. It's not.
I thought the part where he came on stage, turned his ass to the camera, and gyrated 14 times was a heel move.
No, he's a babyface. And did you notice what he had on his ass?
Get over it, I believe.
Did it say get over it? I just thought it said over it.
It may have said over it.
Like all of this.
His life.
All of this bullshit, I'm over it.
Yeah, that may have been it too.
Which, by the way, it's a great way to get over in WWE with the guys that run the place.
True.
Wear some shorts that say over it.
So, Orton versus Ziggler was in the mode of a classic Ric Flair champion versus random challenger match. Not that it was that great, but the whole point was, I am the world champion. I'm going to face this random guy, and for 10 minutes here, I'm going to make him look like $1 million before I find a way to win. He gave Ziggler tons of offense, gave him tons of near falls, and finally at the end, he hit a thumb to the eye and the RKO for the win. And then immediately afterwards, after spending 10 minutes trying to elevate Ziggler to his level, he knocked him down several positions, destroyed him outside the ring, beat him up on the floor, and hit him with an elevated DDT onto the pretty black mats to end that. But for the match, it was fun.
That's a pretty good match. Randy didn't give him as much as like Cena did with Rollins.
Yeah, there was more to say.
It was quite the one-handed destruction afterwards. Mm-hmm. Single-handed, not one-handed.
He may as well have used one hand. Shield cut a promo on their opponents backstage, said they would win. Damian Sandow versus Daniel Bryan. JBL dropped a Brian Gewirtz reference in here. As always, he's just out there to entertain himself, which I realize I am as well, but come on now. So it's impossible for Daniel Bryan to have a bad match, but this is about as bad as one can be, which just means it was completely average. He sold for a while. He made his comeback. He hit his move, and he won. There were no near falls. There were no cutoffs. Just a comeback and a finish, which frankly should happen more often, but it was just a match. Bray Wyatt then appeared on the screen, on the stage, and he cut a promo saying that he was in control, and also he was no man, he was a god. And that sounds like hyperbole to me.
Yeah. By the way, in that Bryan match, just want to bring this up. I'm torn on what I think about this. Because on one hand, Daniel Bryan is a great wrestler and he's extremely intelligent. And on the other hand, WWE has no idea what they're doing. But in this match with Sandow, which took place the Friday before Raw, Daniel Bryan performed a top rope Hurricane Rana on Damian Sandow, which he's done here and there, but he doesn't do all the time. Mm-hmm. And if you remember with the match on Raw, he went for a top rope Hurricane Rana on Luke Harper, and Luke Harper powerbombed him
right
to death.
Right.
So I couldn't help but think, did you do that top rope powerbomb here on Damian Sandow just because you knew that it was going to be reversed on Raw? Because if so, that's pretty cool.
That sounds like a very Daniel Bryan thing to do.
But the idea that he knew what they were going to do on the Tuesday prior to this Raw, I'm not certain. I'm not sold on that. Maybe.
That is also a good point.
Maybe.
So we had the first of the three singles matches with the Shield. It was Dean Ambrose versus Big E Langston. We talked about them having short matches on the show. When the bell rang, I stood up. I went to the bathroom, I ate a candy bar, and I drank a glass of water. And by the time I was done with that glass of water, the second match in this series had ended.
Mm-hmm.
So Big E beat Ambrose. The key spot, if you can have a key spot in a 60-second match, he threw Big E outside, and his guys went over to beat him up, but Cena and Henry were out there to make sure that didn't happen, and then Big E won with a big ending. So there's that.
Actually, the key to me was Michael Cole spent 59 of the 60 seconds that this match lasted pushing the idea of a U.S. versus Intercontinental title unification match, which, granted, they change their minds all the time, but when I heard that, I thought, okay, well, good. They're unifying the titles.
Mm-hmm. I would be fine with that. Mark Henry versus Roman Reigns. The real star of this match was John Cena, who was a fantastic cheerleader on the floor. And when Reigns went to a chin lock, Cena was on the floor running back and forth, getting people to cheer and go nuts. But it was to no avail because Reigns finally hit a Superman punch and a spear for the win. And we have the third match, the best match of the series. I feel confident in that. John Cena and Seth Rollins.
This match was awesome.
This match was awesome.
This was one of those matches where I had heard people raving about this match because I watched it tonight. And for days, I'd heard people talking about how awesome this match was. And so you start watching it, and you're about 10 minutes in, it's kind of like, nah, it's all right. It's not that great. Cena's, you know, putting the guy over big, but it's not that great a match. And then by the end, you're like, huh, that was a great match.
That was fucking awesome. The biggest thing to me about it was, not first of all, everything that I said about Orton making Dolph, bringing Dolph up to his level, you can take that to the 10th degree here with what Cena did with Seth Rollins. But I realize they've had a ton of six-man tags, but this looked like they've been wrestling each other in singles matches and main events across the country for about 6 months. They were perfect together.
John Cena is far from the most polished wrestler you'll ever see. Mm-hmm. He's extremely unpolished, actually. But this dude can work a match.
Yeah.
This guy can put a match together, and he, man, did he ever put this guy over. I mean, he gave him everything before he beat him at the end. You know, you can say what you want about Cena, but you watch him do an interview and his passion and the people go nuts for him and, you know, the fans just booing like crazy, but he goes out there and he just does his thing and he works his ass off. He's broken. He's beaten up. His tricep is just coming off being torn, but he goes in there and boy, does he overachieve. That's the best way to say it. This man overachieves in the ring, and this match was great.
It was really great. And this actually helped. This was about the most unanimous pro-Cena crowd I've seen in quite a while. They were not dueling chants. These people wanted John Cena to win. And my last question here, and it is a question. Seth is using that move that Ultimo Dragon used as a finisher when he was in this company. You stand there like you're going to do a snapmare, but then you flip backwards over the guy and slam him onto his back.
Wasn't it called the Diamond Dust?
Was that it?
I've been calling the sliced bread. Although he's not running up the ropes.
It's a standing sliced bread, yeah.
Actually kind of ridiculous.
Well, it's an absurd move, but looks cool. So somebody please go to Brian's Twitter and tell him what that move is called so I can start writing it down correctly.
Oh, God, 8 million people calling. Tweet me. Don't call me, please. Yeah, no calls yet.
No calls.
We'll do plenty of calls in the future. No calls right now.
So the finish was Cena got the STF, but Rollins got the ropes. And then the Shield dudes tried to interfere, but Henry and Big E were out there to fight them off. And at last, Rollins tried a crossbody, but Cena caught him and rolled through and hit the AA for the win. That was really awesome. And then all the babyfaces celebrated together. They all, Big E and Henry and Cena, they grabbed hands and they all raised each other's arms. And all I could think was, good Lord, these men are enormous.
Big guys. There were a lot of great spots in this match. Like I said, they put Seth over Big. I always love the ending of a show when, like, you know, the babyfaces won their big match, so they're all there holding each other's hands up. And meanwhile, the evil heels sneer. Vinny's overlooking for presents, by the way. See if you can find one from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Who could that possibly be from? So, yeah, this match was great. Let's see if we've got an answer to the Ultimo Dragon's finisher question. Victorian, that's not it. Is that it? All right. Hopefully Lance is listening live right now.
What else would he be doing on New Year's Eve?
That's right. I thought he was going to be out drinking and carousing.
I'm sure Lance is down to some honky-tonk in Calgary.
Sure, yeah. Why don't you open
drinking
that present?
Drinking gallons of PBR and right in the mechanical bowl.
I'd give a lot of money to see that.
Right.
Open the present.
This is from, speaking of Canada, this is from Dale Andrews in Victoria, BC, which is a great place.
Victoria is lovely.
I'm going to open this. All right, let's tear it. When all else fails, tear it open with brute strength.
All right, we've got somebody here says that in NXT, Seth Rollins called it the Skywalker.
All right. Okay, we have a couple of things here. We have the CM Punk WWE Rumbler Aptivity, it says.
Aptivity?
Which somehow lets you battle on your iPad.
on my iPad.
You put the toy on your iPad, and apparently it has a match.
How about that?
You have to download the app. Do you think you can figure that part out?
The WWE app?
Actually, I think it's a different app.
I can probably find out how to do it on YouTube.
It has three modes: training, exhibition, and career. Oh, wait, it has instructions. Hang on.
Standing Shiranui is the move.
I'm sure that's not what they called it.
Skywalker at NXT.
All right. Your superstar interacts with the app. 1. Download the free app for iPad. 2. Place figure on screen. 3. Use figure to play the app. Sounds easy.
Michael Cole does it better when he explains it.
I'm sure he does.
Lance has alerted me on Twitter that he is listening to the show, and so I have requested that he retweet this live listening link to 60,000 people or however many he's got following him.
We have a keychain from Japan, which is a sumo wrestler putting somebody into a Boston crab. Hold that a lot for Brian to see. A Santo movie.
Oh, really? Which one?
Santo contra los jinetes del terror.
I could not understand a word you just said.
Okay, Santo.
Give me that.
Here. Out of your monitor. Nice catch. Then we got Brian, Vinny, and Granny got a card from Dale.
I don't even know what that word is.
It's in Spanish.
Genie?
The genies of terror?
The genies of terror? Huh, I don't know. Fortunately, as I noted, I don't have a DVD player.
Brian, Vinny, and Granny, I have enclosed a few gifts as tokens of appreciation for all of the great audio that has helped me pass the time over the last year. A shout out to everyone in the Empire that I have met during the last two Las Vegas conventions, many who have become good friends. I look forward to seeing you in New Orleans and or Vegas next year. Happy holidays, Dale. And there is an envelope here with your grandmother's name on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It says here, tell Vinny to drink.
Water or alcohol?
Huh. Alcohol, of course.
I need the water.
All right. Hold on. Here's Lance's.
Right.
Oh, Lance is pointing out that he does not have 60,000. He has 129,000.
So you're only off by 50%.
And I should add, you know who told you to drink?
No.
Gene Okerlund, it says here.
Really?
I'm skeptical it's the real Mean Gene. But he said, tell Vinny to drink. I'm going to open Lance's present. Lance has built this. He should know better. He's built this up so big it can only be a disappointment. There's a card from the world famous Lance T. Storm. I believe the same Christmas card that I've been sent by 60 people. Wishing you warm and friendly wishes for a holiday season filled with happiness. He says, I hope this brings you as many hours of enjoyment as your show brings to me. I can only imagine. Oh my God. All right, this is a good one. John Cena in the Marine, the novel. Somebody wrote a novel based on this film.
That's amazing.
And by the way,
that
it says
amazing.
It says here also, sale item, 50 cents. It was a library book that he bought for 50 cents for us.
50 cents Canadian. I realize now is the same, but
I'm just going to ignore you. Yeah. It is a novelization by Rudy Josephs.
Let's see what else Rudy Josephs.
Story by Michelle Gallagher. Screenplay by Michelle Gallagher and Alan
Rudy
McElroy.
Joseph's author.
I'm not going to read the whole book here on the air, everybody, but I'll read the back cover here. In giant letters, it says, they told him the war was over. Following a rescue mission in Afghanistan, discharged Marine John Triton returns home to South Carolina and into the loving arms of his wife, Kate. Though happy to be home, Triton soon discovers that adjusting to a normal life does not come easy for him. In fact, suppressing his intense training and strong survival instincts may be the greatest challenge he has ever faced. Hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
He has to suppress his strong survival instincts? What does that mean?
That sounds to me like it means die.
Yes.
If your instinct is to survive and you suppress that instinct, you'll die.
That is, it says, until a camping trip to the mountains results in an unfortunate encounter with five ruthless killers on the run. Of course.
Wait, what?
And Kate becomes their unwilling hostage.
I saw that movie. Were there mountains?
Left for dead, Triton relentlessly pursues his quarry deep into the backwoods country, determined to get his wife back safely at any and all costs. Not just any cost.
Any and some.
Any and all. But he's wounded, unarmed, and outnumbered. All he has left are his wits and an almost animalistic rage, almost, that made him an unstoppable killing machine in the front lines overseas.
That is amazing. I have looked up Rudy Joseph's page at SimonandSchuster.com. You have three books by this author on there.
Oh, really?
One, of course, is John Cena's The Marine. He also wrote Big Apple Takedown.
No.
Yeah. Which I believe was the novel about how everyone in the WWE was a spy or something.
Something like that, yeah.
And finally, he wrote Starfleet Academy, The Edge. This guy, Brian, is right up your wheelhouse.
Oh, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
Twitter just blew up after I opened that present. He says, Kyle here says, at least it was not the Marine book Ms. version. Chris notes, a Kindle version of this exists. R. Dunbeck says the Marine novel is great back-to-back reading with the Kane novel. And then a lot of people suggesting I break a bottle over your head. I don't even know why. All right, let's move on here, everybody, and do the Raw report.
Monday Night Raw.
And we've got a ridiculous number of people listening right now. And it was pointed out to me that we have more people listening in Colombia than in Puerto Rico. That's wacky.
Okay.
I guess drug users think this is the... Anyway.
I was going to say hot women.
Well, that too.
So CM Punk came out for a promo. Talked about all his feuds of 2013. Guys like The Rock and The Undertaker and Paul Heyman. But at the end of the day, it had not been his year. It had been the year of the Shield. He started talking more about all the Shield had done over the past year.
Who he beat in a 3-on-1 match at the last pay-per-view.
Jumping the gun.
Sorry.
You're jumping the gun.
Sorry.
Because, sure enough, the Shield came out. And before they beat him up, they said they wanted to hear him out and hear what he had to say. And so CM Punk then said that no one man could beat the three of them. You did! You did it by yourself a few weeks ago!
No one remembers this, Vinny.
Jesus Christ. So, he couldn't beat up all three of them, he said, even though he did. But he wanted to fight one of them, but he said, I want to fight the best of you.
Mm.
And Ambrose said, all right, I'm ready, let's go. And Punk said, no, I wasn't talking to you. And that made Ambrose pissed, and the other guys had to hold him back. Punk said, I've beaten you several times, you're the weak link. So Seth said, all right, you want to fight the best man? I'm right here. And now Roman Reigns was angry. Fans could see where this is going. They were chanting Roman's name. This went on for a while. I believe Brad Maddox missed his cue. He eventually showed up.
What a shocker.
I know. And to make a long story short, he booked Punk versus Rollins for tonight. It was a really good, with the obvious exception of that one line that made me angry, was a really good segment. And the seeds of dissension being sown amongst the Shield was done very well.
We got a guy here, by the way, that says that, this is David, Paul Bearer once said that he hated the Kane novel so much, he threw it across the floor. The book was worse than the storyline WWE wrote? That's impossible. It's impossible.
The funniest part about that.
Come on.
Is throwing it across the floor.
Yeah.
Not across the room.
No, across the floor.
He said to like bend over first and then throw it.
Man, we got a listener in India. That's awesome.
Well, there's a billion people there. I like to think one of them likes it.
I think that most of you, in fact, all of you have to be aware of this. I don't know if Vinny is. But if you go up to the page that the show is streaming on, you can actually see a Google map with where all of the listeners are located.
I'll try that.
And obviously, there's like a ton of them here in the U.S. and Canada, Japan, India. What the heck is that down there? Oh, tons of them in Australia. My map.
Hey, small.
My map was zoomed out. And obviously a bunch of them in the UK and Ireland. This is awesome.
Coughing like crazy. Somebody very far north in Canada.
I know. Someone on a death tour right now.
It might be.
Could be, yeah.
This is Canada Apple iPhone.
All right. By the way, one of these days, within the next 5-10 years, you know, all of the new cars that are rolled out are going to be connected to the internet.
Right.
They're going to be connected cars. And obviously, that's why we're doing this. Because you will be able to listen. You know, back in the day, let's say I wanted to open up a radio station back in the day. What would I have to do? Well, I'd have to get a license. I would have to get a gigantic antenna. You know, so much work would go into creating a radio station that if you were lucky, I mean, maybe you could be heard across a few states. But here we are in 2014, and this is broadcasting in what apparently, according to the people listening, is perfect quality all over the world.
Yeah.
I mean, well over a dozen countries listening to this right now live. It's absolutely amazing. And that's my whole goal is pretty soon, no matter where you are. And you know what? This is what really is this is why I have to not die anytime soon, because probably within the next decade or so, you know, there are going to be civilians on the moon. And I'm hoping that sometime before I turn 50, we will be talking to listeners live who are on the moon.
Hmm.
Yeah, wouldn't that be awesome? Not sure of the logistics of that.
That seems optimistic to me.
If there are any scientists listening and that's impossible, let me know. And Subrick here noted that he's in Finland.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people in Europe, a bunch of people in Australia, one person in Japan, one person in India, zero people in the continent of Africa.
Well, we'll have to build that market.
And I was going to make given the time shift, it's not surprising, but then I look due north to Europe, and there's dozens. So, yep.
This fella here says, this is our Dunbeck, actually. You must acquire and read the Kane novel. It is an astonishing low in the history of the written word.
That's impressive. Astonishing low in the history of the written word.
And Rob thinks you're an idiot. He says, I believe Punk said, you three can beat up any one man. We know that. Which he says changes the meaning.
Hmm.
Well, apparently not, because the three of them did not beat up Punk.
No.
He won.
He defeated them in a sporting contest and left unscathed.
Lance wants you to review the novel.
All right.
Really?
If it means I don't have to watch anything, no. One of us should.
All right, you're doing it.
We'll see how far I get.
All right, go on.
As my notes here read, Seth Punk versus CM Rollins. It was not as good as the Seth Cena match. It was fine. They did have the worst small package I've seen in a long time. The last small package I saw this bad was when I was trying to teach small packages to Livewire, and he was unable to do this move without giving me a legitimate DDT into the mat.
I don't know, that was necessarily all his fault.
How dare you? So Punk got shoved off the top rope like Rob Van Dam for the Heat, and fans were trying to encourage him by telling him, get up, CM! And then Rollins had a cover with the Skywalker.
Screaming, don't do it! It sucks! And this guy wants Todd to review it since he's the book guy.
Well, that makes sense then.
Todd, if you're listening, we got a book for you. Okay, keep going.
So Rollins hit the Skywalker and made a cover, but Ambrose was arguing with the ref, so the ref was delayed. Then Reigns yanked out Ambrose off the apron. They started shouting at each other. And so the ref missed Rollins' cover and Punk kicked out. And long story short, Rollins jumped over the top rope into a go to sleep for the pin. It was a very good Raw opener. And when Punk left, he was happy he won, and the Shield was all pissed at each other.
And what's funny about that, first off, I got to stop reading this Twitter because I'm terribly distracted. R. Dunbeck says, you can learn everything you never wanted to know about Katie Vick.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Anyway, so you noted that CM Punk looked happy. Well, apparently CM Punk, a fan last night, this is in the Daily Update, they praised him for his match. And I believe, I don't have it in front of me, but it was something to the effect of, it sucked! He was not happy.
Oh, he said that?
Yeah.
I see. They did have a really terrible small package. Brad Maddox was backstage laying down the law to a referee. The Helmsleys arrived. I should add, by the way, that in the corner of this room, actually it was in the center of the room in the back, but they had Kane's mask and a glass display case.
Wow.
All right. So Maddox said Kane was not going to be there. So it was time that he took a step forward. At this point, Daniel Bryan interrupted. He demanded a match with Bray Wyatt. And Maddox said, fine, you can earn it if you can beat Luke Harper and Eric Rowan in one-on-one matches first. And Bryan was fine with this. He left.
What a great baby face.
And Steph said, that's good. But it's going to be even better when I announce the main event of the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know.
I know.
So Steph,
they had to know how stupid that line was. They had to know how infuriating. It had to be written as a heel line.
Sure.
That her a brilliant idea was John Cena against Randy Orton in a wrestling match. That's what it is.
That is, in fact, what's going to happen. So.
Have a wrestling match. Yeah. And I realize I should be happy that they're billing a wrestling match as a big-time main event. But they just had a TLC match,
mm-hmm.
which the heel won clean.
Right. So, as promised, Stephanie came out. She showed a really great Randy Orton highlight video. Showed him beating all kinds of men in the past decade. Beat Undertaker, beat Kurt Angle, beat Cena, beat Sheamus, beat Punk, beat Christian. And somewhere in here, there's a clip of him beating Triple H by countout.
Big win.
Yes. So she announced that, as you noted, she was going to face John Cena in a wrestling match with, she noted, no interference.
Yeah.
It's a no interference match.
No DQs and no interference.
That's the stip. I guess in every other match they have all year round, interference is allowed.
So what happens if you interfere?
I don't know.
There's no DQs.
You've just
blown chastised?
You've just blown her mind. It's like Schrodinger's cat up in here. Had a bunch of videos all night recapping the Daniel Bryan Wyatt family feud. Curtis Axel versus Dolph Ziggler. Each guy cut an inset promo before the match. Axel said that he was going to have an even better year in 2014. Going way out on a limb there.
It's a tough, tough 2013 is a tough act to follow.
Yes. And Dolph cut one vowing to steal the show and come out on top. And I thought this is a new thing they were going to do before every match, but no, these guys did them. They were pointless and we never saw any more all night.
Mm-hmm. By the way, our listener in Northern Canada has tweeted, it is not a death tour, he says, but it currently feels like minus 36 Celsius outside.
It's pretty cold.
Dear God.
Pretty cold. So, Dolph, during his comeback, went into the corner to do the punches in the corner, and the crowd tried to chant along, but he was going too fast. But this happens every match. And Lawler said, I can't count that fast. And he said it in a way like, hey, Dolph, nobody can count that fast. You idiot.
I mentioned this weeks ago.
Yeah.
A little infuriating thing that I know the wrong people don't want to see that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So Dolph won with a zigzag. Cole called it a big win. And then, like, without even stopping, started telling us how to download the app.
It's very important, Vinny.
I guess so.
Wait till we have an app that I'm going to have to teach y'all how to download.
Mm.
Because God knows if you're subscribing to this website, you have issues with computers.
Right.
Although I shouldn't mention this, but I will. We have had one person who's had an issue, and it is Granny. So somehow when she loaded up the stream, her computer crashed. So she is not one of our live listeners right now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's sad. Should I keep going or should we do more presents?
Keep moving.
All right.
Let's finish Raw, then we'll do two more, and we'll open the rest. We got to build this, Vinny.
All right. Big E Langston versus Fandango for the Intercontinental Championship. They did the full entrances and then ring introductions, which is always a nice touch for title matches. Summer Rae's dress, I don't know how it can possibly be PG. It was cut down to her navel, essentially, and the rest of it was pretty much see-through. So, they had a very long match. Like half the crew, half the crew was not there. So lots of time for the guys who were there. There were some rough spots early. Fandango tried an Indian deathlock, which did not work because Big E's legs are too damn big. Fandango hit his leg drop, but Big E rolled out of the ring. And by the time Fandango got this massive man back inside, Big E had recovered, and he hit a belly-to-belly and the big splash and the big ending for the win. And the last few minutes of this were pretty good.
And as noted last night, Jerry Lawler mentioned Anderson Silva in UFC, which was shocking to me. But he did.
I missed that. What was the context?
He was just talking about how giant Big E Langston's legs were, and he said that they wouldn't be snapping like Silva in the big UFC fight, I believe were his exact words.
I see. Well, they do that. I mean, in that particular one, because in their mind, it makes UFC fighters look like wimps.
That's right, because Biggie's legs are so thick, unbreakable.
It's the same reason they took shots at Tony Romo, who's a football player, because he got hurt. He needed back surgery, and they called him a pansy, essentially. Booker T hosted the wackiest party of all time.
I'm still laughing at this.
He had...
Had this not been interrupted by Bad News Barrett, this was his idea in the middle of a live episode of Raw.
Yes. So he had himself and the primetime players, Tyson Kidd, Dolph Ziggler, who, by the way, just being out there with his crew, no good, Justin Gabriel, Alex Riley in his longer hair, Xavier Woods, the Usos, and them being out there with his crew, too, by the way, and a bunch of random divas. And his plan was to get all these people out there in the middle of a show and do a New Year's spin-a-rooney.
Yeah.
They were interrupted.
Clearly, he hasn't been... You'd think that after the Seattle Spinneroonie contest, he would know this was a bad idea.
I guess.
There's one guy other than Booker T that did a decent Spinneroonie.
It was Morrison.
No, it was, he can too, but in Seattle.
Oh.
Were you there for that or did you leave?
I watched the whole thing.
Yeah, it was Titus O'Neil. His was all right.
That's right. Yeah, relatively. So they were interrupted by Bad News Barrett and his elevating podium.
Oh, no.
Well, hey, you know what? The elevating podium is the best thing about this gimmick so far.
Really?
He's standing there. He's got the microphone in front of him. And he's got it's draped on the sides with curtains with the Bad News Barrett logo. And his music's playing. And he rises in the air. And it's just like 30 seconds of dead air. And everyone just stands and watches him and waits to hear what he has to say.
Yeah.
So he got up there. And his bad news, his first bad news was that 2014 would bring us a step closer to the apocalypse.
Hey, that's true.
No denying. That is bad news.
It's true. That's a true fact.
Yeah.
The sun ain't getting any smaller.
No.
Now, granted, we got millions and millions of years, but he's correct.
Mm-hmm. So he told the wrestlers that they were going to be greedy. He told the fans they were going to destroy the environment. I said everyone was going to follow TMZ rather than do anything about actual problems in the world. Then he wished us a happy new year. And as my notes here read, and I think this is the best way to sum this up, I hated this less than usual.
You know what amazes me about it is like maybe the Bad News Barrett gimmick is going to take off, but so far it hasn't taken off. And I mean, I don't know how much it costs to make that giant. Remember the old Bugs Bunny cartoons where they were each on a platform?
Mm-hmm.
And they pulled a lever and the platform just kept getting higher and higher?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what he was on.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much it cost to produce and create that thing, but they created it for Bad News Barrett.
Yeah.
What? Well, I guess whatever works. I hear in a couple of weeks we're going to find out what Bad News Barrett's going
to
be doing.
I'm sure it's just something they use to like set up the lighting rig or something, lighting equipment, and they just put some curtains on there and he used that. I bet they cost them close to zero. Renee interviewed Damian Sandow. Said everyone had been disrespecting him all year. He was facing a mystery opponent later with fans voting via the app. And if he lost this match, he would quit.
Mm-hmm.
They had the whole bit where LeBron James wanted a championship belt. And so Cena and Rock both tweeted about it. I mean, Rock sent him one. And I only bring this up because when... because
I begged for one in the daily update
that
today.
Was not what I was going to say. Oh. And that works, by the way. More power to you.
I hope so. I asked for a winged eagle.
That'd be cool. But no, I bring it up because, for the record, if you're LeBron James, you can get away with saying the word belt on Raw.
Well, they can't go back and make him...
they could have edited his tweet or something.
I suppose you're right. That'd be going to a lot of trouble.
I would not have been... it's like they hack his account. Just change what he said on screen. So Damian Sandow faced a mystery opponent. Fans' options were Kofi Kingston. This is amazing to me.
Really? Is it really?
Well, actually. Kofi Kingston, The Miz, and The Great Khali. Khali won with 39% of the vote. Then Miz at 33%. And Kofi Kingston, the best wrestler of the group by far, got 28%.
Yeah?
This was... this should have been taken as a sign for Kofi.
Time. Be a sign for everybody. Miz took it as a sign.
Miz did
he
tweet.
He's very upset on Twitter.
But there's the point is, well, for Miz too, but especially for Kofi, it's time to change something drastically.
Yeah, like those long tights.
Change the tights, shave your hair, turn heel, do a new gimmick, something. But what you are doing right now clearly is not working.
I got to find out if Kofi cried about this on Twitter. 1.2 million followers?
For who?
Kofi.
Oh, yeah.
Dear God, come on now. And I just hit 13,000. This is ridiculous. All right, let's see what he said about this. Okay, before he said, either vote for me or Khali. Don't vote for Miz.
That's funny.
So basically, he gave it away, Vinny. And he didn't complain about it afterwards, unlike The Miz.
I guess not. So... due to Kofi's failure in his career to get over with the audience, I had to watch Fandango versus The Great Khali in a long match. Fans were bored beyond comprehension.
Here's what Miz said. You voted The Great Khali over The Miz. Real awesome. Something's got to change in 2014. That's exactly what Vinny said. He just wasn't talking about you.
Well, I don't disagree with Miz.
What the hell can Miz change? He's been a heel. He's been a babyface. That's about it.
Well, I didn't list.
Now, you know what? I got to say something. We'll get to Daniel Bryan in a minute. But last night, all I had to hear on Twitter, my email, everywhere, was people upset that Daniel Bryan had joined the Wyatt family.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, I don't expect this to be a long-term thing, but who knows? But now, aren't you all upset that they didn't go with my idea, which is that Miz should have grown a beard and joined the Wyatt clan?
You managed to make this about you.
Yeah, I do. Miz looks like a 10-year-old. He looks like a 10-year-old. I was going to say a Muppet, but I didn't want to insult the Muppet show. But he needs something. And some facial hair. Grow your hair long. Grow your beard. You know? Some chest hair. Put on some jeans and a wife beater. And just, what the hell? Give it a shot. What do you have to lose if you're the Miz right now?
The options I listed for Kofi here were a complete makeover, a dramatic heel turn, or retirement. Miz, same goes for you, except for that whole heel turn part.
He's got 1.6 million. I need to get some fake followers or something. All right, go on.
So this match blew. Fans were singing the Olay song. And then Damian kind of sort of yanked him into a turnbuckle and kind of sort of pinned him with a schoolboy. And the replay showed that Khali's shoulder was up. Great, we're getting a rematch.
I don't think we probably are, but I don't think that they meant to have his shoulder up. Sandow just like, he cradled him with such fury. And the Great Khali is not like a, you know, some people can lay on their back and they can put their knees on the ground by their ears. That ain't the great Khali. And so if you cradle him and you really try to put his knees on his face, yeah, he's going to roll over. That's what happened.
Oh, God. Rhodus Clay versus Truth. Neither guy got an entrance. Xavier Woods was out there talking on the commentary. Rhodus should have had new gear by now, even since this whole feud is about how Truth and Woods stole everything from him. His gimmick, as JBL said. JBL also, on the last show of 2013, dropped a third base reference. Wow.
Like?
The rapper. Rappers.
I thought you meant in the pants.
No, not the sporting or sexual term.
I see.
The rap act from ancient times. So, Rhodus hit about 4,000 moves. Woods jumped on the announce desk. He brought up the Funkadactyls to dance. Yep, distraction finish. And Truth hit a diving DDT to one. The babyfaces all danced. Rhodus looked like he was going to cry. I don't know whatever happened to Tensai.
And I don't know what... Somebody noted that when Booker came out for the Spinneroonie contest, Xavier Woods was in his gear. But then 2 segments later, to come out to call the action, he'd put a suit back on.
Interesting.
It's a man dedicated to looking good.
I guess so. Triple H came out, said 2014 would be like nothing we'd ever seen before, and then he brought out Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman.
Yeah. Blood feud.
Cole was talking about all the violent history between the two, and Brock got in the ring. He and Hunter made eye contact. Hunter just smiled, offered a handshake. Brock looked at Heyman. Heyman just kind of shrugged, like, why not? And Brock shook his hand, and Hunter was happy, and he left.
My favorite part of this is still that the announcers were talking about how it had been rumored for days that Brock Lesnar was returning to WWE. And it had been rumored for days because it had been spoiled at the SmackDown tapings.
Yes.
Because SmackDown was taped before Raw. So if they're acknowledging these SmackDown spoilers from the future, Mark Henry should have known not to come out.
I thought that.
But he did. What an idiot. Talk about rolling the dice. You know, Mark Henry is a real man.
Perhaps he thought he could change the time
stream. That's right. Mark Henry thought, you know what? My fate is not sealed. I am going to go change the future.
I am going to change history.
And unfortunately, he didn't.
Yeah. So, Heyman said Brock was there not to fight old battles and not to fight Heyman's opponents or Heyman's enemies. He was there to win the world championship. And he issued a challenge to the Orton-Cena winner. Didn't say when that match would be, but he wanted a championship match. Brock explained that he did not need to win a Royal Rumble or stand in line to get a title shot. He could just get one because he was Brock Lesnar. I'm fine with this. He dared anyone in the back to come face him. And after a slight delay, out came Mark Henry. And they had a brawl.
Sort of worked a lot better if Mark Henry hadn't been killed on SmackDown.
And that's probably true. So, they had a brawl, and Henry dumped Lesnar over the barricade, and Brock went tumbling over the barricade onto the cement. And nobody can say that when, you know, Brock's not there often, but when he's there, he does not take things easy.
Oh, yeah.
So Henry went after him, and Brock popped up and speared him through the barricade and came up screaming. And when he popped to his feet and started screaming, my first instinct was to run.
It was awesome. Brock's new blood-curdling scream is the best new gimmick of 2014 now.
Yes. So he beat up Henry for a bit, hit him with an F5 on the floor, which looked incredibly uncomfortable for Mark Henry.
I was baffled.
He took a bump onto his chest on the floor at 400 pounds.
Dude, this is not like a guy that never gets hurt.
That's also true.
Mark Henry gets hurt a fair amount, and his bright idea, it wasn't probably, I don't even know whose bright idea this was. But they were like, hey, take an F5 on the floor. And he did.
And he did. So Brock hits this F5, popped up and screamed again, and I just started to weep. And I am now afraid to leave the house because somewhere out there is Brock Lesnar, and it's not safe.
Just stay away from the woods.
I live in the woods.
Well, you're in trouble then.
I am in trouble.
He ain't around the suburbs.
No. Yeah, Brock screaming is the best thing ever. Oh, and by the way, many, many, many years ago, before Brock ever, before he ever had a fight in UFC, He mentioned something about wanting to tackle Tim Sylvia through the cage.
Yeah.
And I thought about that when he tackled Mark Henry through this barricade.
That's why he did that shriek.
Mm-hmm.
He finally lived his dream.
Well, listen. If we can find Brock Lesnar and Tim Sylvia and put them in a cage tomorrow, money. I will pay to see that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, unfortunately, there's a small number of people who will, Vinny.
Great.
Not to mention the money you're wasting for Brock's next fight. This is Vinny's booking, everybody.
Yes.
Brock Lesnar's going to fight again. I'm going to put him in a cage with Tim Sylvia.
Yes, and kill him.
Wow. You know, disappointed Tim Sylvia would be if he heard that now.
His feelings would be hurt.
His feelings would be badly hurt.
His feelings would be hurt. Regardless, this angle here with Brock Lesnar and Mark Henry was awesome. We had another match with all the girls in there. Eva and the Funkadactyls and the Bellas. And Summer Rae and Oksana and Rosa and Caitlyn and Alicia. Eva is horrible, but I can't say she's not improving. So she went to tag out. None of her teammates wanted to let her. Eventually, they did. And Cameron took a bump right on her face. This actually looked more brutal than Mark Henry's bump. Went on too long. Broke down into the shortest 10-way ever. And finally came down to just Nikki and Oksana in the ring. And they attempted to disguise how horrible this was by zooming in and out constantly. Oksana won with a move I couldn't even identify.
I think it was kind of like a final cut.
It looked like an inverted final cut is the best I could do.
But she attacked her from behind, so it was a final butt. Come on!
Are you actually proud of that?
That was the best one I've had literally since 2005.
Well, that may be true. So, yes, on the show where John Cena is 1,000 miles away, his girlfriend gets pinned by Oksana. That made me laugh.
That's what they wanted you to do.
I'm sure it'll come up on Total Divas. She'll blame the loss on Cena's absence or something. Had a really good tribute to the troops highlight video going back almost 10 years now. JBL said it was the best thing the company did. Did not mention one time that it was his idea. Helmsley's met with Maddox. He apologized for the officiating the Kali match. Said that would not happen again. Hopefully he meant Kali would not be wrestling again. Said next week was old school Raw, and he promised all their favorites would be there. Hunter said, "Are you sure?" And Maddox just said, "Woo!" And Hunter said, "Don't do that."
Can't help himself.
I laughed. Then it was time for the Daniel Bryan stuff. Daniel Bryan was versus Luke Harper.
God, I'm already getting feedback. People don't like my joke.
You don't say.
Come on. That was a good one.
Final butt.
I can't even start to say it without laughing. That's how good it is. I can usually keep a straight face, but final butt gets me every time. It's a final cut from behind. Final butt.
So, Brian and Harper had a match here. Longer it went, better it got. They did the really awesome super bomb spot. Somewhere in here, Michael Cole was talking about the fans cheering for Brian. And he said, the fans are Daniel Bryan's sixth man. Who are men 2 through 5?
I was gonna say. Jeez.
So, what happened here? The finish was awesome, actually. First, earlier on, Harper did a half Nelson German, tossing Bryan backwards over his head. Then a few minutes later, they did some more stuff. And Harper tried a German again. A different German. But he threw him backwards over his head. And Brian landed on his feet, retreated backwards straight into the corner, and when Harper turned around, Brian came flying out with a knee strike for the win. That finish was great.
It was great. Luke Harper's awesome.
Luke Harper's awesome. Daniel Bryan's better. This was awesome.
I don't feel we need to reiterate that Daniel Bryan's awesome because it's a known fact.
It is at this point.
It's like saying, Luke Harper is great, sun's hot. We know.
Eric Rowan is bald.
Eric Rowan, he's all right. He's better than he was before they got called up when I thought, oh my God, they're calling up Eric Rowan.
So he wrestled Brian here. It really wasn't much of a match. It was all Rowan hitting big moves on him because Brian had just, wrestled. And then Brian won with a flash small package out of nowhere. It was much better than the Punk and Seth Rollins small package. So Rowan went to assault Brian afterwards, but Harper dove into the ring and pulled him away. Main event was Bray Wyatt versus Daniel Bryan. The bell rang. Bray turned his back and smiled. Bryan started to attack, and the Giants attacked for the DQ. It was a lame payoff for a half hour of TV time.
Sure was. But again, they didn't wrestle. So, you'd think that if Daniel Bryan were turning heel, and he was going to be a heel for like all of 2014, wouldn't they have done the Daniel Bryan-Bray Wyatt match first?
Probably, yeah. So, as soon as the Giants started to beat up Bryan, the air just went out of the crowd. Just like, oh, man. Thought we were going to get to see him beat up Bray, and now we don't. So, Wyatt cut a promo on him. He's singing a song, telling Bryan to leave the role behind. And he's told Bryan this is the end. And then Bryan grabbed the mic and said, "You're right." And Wyatt made him say it again. The crowd was chanting no. And Bryan finally said, "Look, doesn't matter how many matches I won. Doesn't matter how loud the people chanted. The machine would not let me win." Which is true. He asked Bray to join the family. Bray ordered him to crawl across the ring, and Bryan did. And Bray hit him with Sister Abigail, then had his Giants drag Bryan backstage. And I did laugh here. I'm not sure how long this was up there, but it was somewhere around here I noticed that up in the left-hand corner of the screen, they had hashtag follow the buzzards.
Yeah.
So the very machine that Bray Wyatt is trying to bring down is actively promoting him.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So eventually, they started dragging Bryan up the ramp, and then he recovered enough to walk on his own. And they let him walk on his own and got to the top of the ramp. The fans started chanting no, 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 and chanting his name. And he looked at them for a long time. He started to fire up, but then the fire went out. And he looked at the floor. And he shook his head. He turned and left, and Daniel Bryan has joined the Wyatt family. And I, you know, yeah, I watched this right before coming over here, so I knew essentially what happened. I knew people thought it was the dumbest thing ever. People. Now we get a few weeks of Daniel Bryan coming out with the Wyatts, pledging his loyalty, saying he's going to follow Bray's footsteps. Bray has shown him the light. Fans are going to chant yes, 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 and chant for him, and chant for him. And probably by the Royal Rumble, he's going to turn on him. Everyone's going to be happy they finally get the hero back. And that'll be that. And then he'll get his match with Bray. But more to the point, as Bryan said, the machine is not going to let him win. Daniel Bryan's not getting close to the main event picture for a long time now. What else is he going to do? Just beat the Wyatts in 1,000 matches? I guess this is the worst idea, but this is something different with him. So, yes, I'm with you. I don't think Daniel Bryan is going to turn heel. I know they're selling yes, yes, yes t-shirts. I know they like having that reaction in the crowd. But, yeah, it's something different.
Well, I can tell you this. Somebody on Twitter, David here, said, "Do you see this turn leading to Cena, Hogan, and Bryan against Bray, Luke, and Rowan? So Hogan can still have a match but do very little." It's very funny that he mentioned that. Because last night, I was told that there are several ideas in play, and one of them is, in fact, Cena, Hogan, and Bryan against Bray, Luke, and Rowan. Now, granted, a lot of this would depend on whether or not Hogan can get clear to do anything. I mean, maybe they'll clear him to get in the ring and do, like, one quick three-punch comeback or something like that. I don't know. But I don't know where it's going. I don't know if it's going to end by the Rumble, but I don't think this is a long-term Daniel Bryan heel turn. But who knows? Stranger things have happened. So that's the Raw report, everybody. And a successful live debut, if I do say so myself. However, we do have to do one more thing. We have to test one more thing before we go. And that is a song. We have not tried a song here on a live broadcast. I've got to see if it works. Because if it doesn't, it's going to take the heart out of the Bryan and Vinny show, Vinny.
Uh-oh.
Just like that opening intro does. Takes a life out of this show. So hold on, everybody. I know that this stream is free right now. So we have a ton of people listening, many of whom maybe have never heard this show before or don't normally listen to the program. And so if that is you, a treat today. One of the co-winners of our Bryan and Vinny Christmas Rap contest, Lewis here, he created a song celebrating the Urban Wrestling Federation. And Vinny and I did a review of this Urban Wrestling Federation once. And contributed all of these drops to the song. Anyway, here you go. What does Dave want from Santa wish list?
I don't really want anything.
Hopefully you can all hear this.
I just want peace on earth. Goodwill.
A man was talking on the phone.
Fuck the bullshit.
Two dudes got in the car for a chat.
Okay.
They said they needed the title, and it was about that money. What in the hell was that? Somebody else walked past.
What do you say?
We had a multiracial crew discussing titties and ass.
Okay.
A guy in a shirt that said Rebel Gang. I believe the announcers refer to this as Ultimate Toe Jam. Men argued on the street.
That is
a bus drove by.
You laugh every time.
I believe one of these men was named Cheese. I believe Dope and Creed. Men shouted at each other. They were willing to fight.
But they threw him into the trunk of the car and then just ran away.
Another man came up and said, I got you.
Okay. And Vinny?
I was fine with the gunplay.
They all wanted to get that money. Now, positives. Large-breasted honeys.
Okay. Something about serving candy-ass motherfuckers. It just got real, and men shot guns at each other.
I don't give a shit. It's a thrill to be shot at.
I believe they said that it must be a great adrenaline
rush. Okay. Who's who? Who hates who?
Who's on whose side?
Who's on whose side? All right, Vinny.
Just as fast as we can go. Bam, bam, bam. Die tonight if they don't get it together. Bam, bam, bam.
Boot cowboy-wearing motherfucker.
Bam, bam, bam.
And take this money from us, man.
Bam, bam, bam.
Now, let me get this straight. Are you sure that Uncle Murda came out?
Thank God we've got Twitter here to alert me that, in fact, it works. Song played just great over the air. So there you go, everybody.
I'm looking at some of your mentions here. You have a joke much better than yours. Subrick here has declared Mark Henry, failed Time Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. He is. He's a failed Time Lord. All right. Before we go, everybody, as noted, we are testing the stream, and so it is going to remain airing the last 2 weeks of programming absolutely, completely free. So if you're listening to this right now and you've got friends who are wrestling fans, please feel free to post this anywhere and everywhere, because we got to test out the capacity. And for the next few days, at least, I don't know how long it'll be free, but for the next few days, every show that I do is going to be live. That means Wrestling Observer Radio, Figure Four Dailies, they're all going to be live here on the website. So we got to make sure everything works, and that means actually the next couple of days, either tomorrow or Thursday, I haven't figured it out yet, we are going to do the prediction show live. So your best bet to not miss this, because I've not created a schedule, an official schedule yet of what time all of the shows are going to air. I'll have that done once I figure everything out. But follow me on Twitter, at Brian Alvarez, because I'll post it there. And obviously, the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. I'm going to post everything there as well. So, get your predictions for 2014 ready. Because the prediction show is coming up either... What's today, Vinny?
That'd be January 1st.
No, Tuesday, right? Okay. So, the prediction show is coming either Wednesday or Thursday. So, it's either tomorrow or today, depending on where you are listening to this. Or tomorrow. Wednesday or Thursday. So have your predictions for 2014 ready. You get one prediction and make it a good one. I don't want a prediction like John Cena and Randy Orton will have three matches in 2014. That's not going out on a limb. I want you to go out on a limb because I want to know who is a prognosticator and who is a fool. So the prediction show is coming up in a couple days. I will read all of the predictions from last year. And we'll see who the winners and losers are. And we'll have a special prize for the best prediction. That's going to be coming up here very soon. And as noted, Wrestling Observer Radio will be live and free streaming here. Should be a lot of fun. So spread the word, everybody. We got to make sure this thing is working. And if you have any problems, go to the front page and Tony's email address is there. Let him know if you had buffering issues. Let him know if you couldn't play it on your phone. Let him know any issues you had, because we want to make this the absolute best that it can be. So thanks again so much, everybody. We got a million people here on Twitter still. Last time I checked, we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of listeners, and looks like at least a dozen countries still right now. In fact, it may be 24 countries are listening in right now. That can't be right.
I have the map here. Does this like update constantly, or do I need to refresh to see if anyone?
It should update every now and then. It's been updating for me every now and then.
I haven't been paying that close attention.
But. That's right. So follow me on Twitter, because if I do any testing with any live programming, I'll tweet it there, and as well as my Facebook page and the front page as well.
We added someone in Saudi Arabia.
There you go. All right. So anyway, thanks again, everybody, for a very successful test, and we shall talk to you again after a while.
Adios.